Good evening. Thank you, Rav Eli Nyman, for bringing me in. Thank you, Jake Weinman, for making all of this possible, for setting this system up. It's all to your credit. And thank you, everyone, for coming online to learn with me tonight. This week is the week leading into Pesach. We want to thank our sponsor for dedicating this shiur, L'zecher u'le'il nishmas, Manish Yitzchak ben Aryeh. As we just mentioned, that this week is Pesach is very swiftly coming upon us. Friday night. Pesach is Friday, because Chametz is Thursday. So in honor of Pesach, let's talk about the Haggadah. Let's discuss an idea in the Haggadah. I'd like to share and elaborate upon an idea that I seen in the Haggadah that was published this year called Pesach with Rav Belsky. One of my chazerim, David Abramowitz, Yeshivat Harvadas, spent many years in Yeshivat Harvadas. I learned briefly by Rav Belsky, Yashiva Zichat Sadek Levracha, and one of my chaverim, and possibly one of the very close talmid of Rav Belsky was Rav David Abramowitz, and he put out a beautiful Haggadah called Pesach with Rav Belsky, and there's an idea I saw there I'd like to dwell upon, maybe elaborate just a bit. Adelsky makes the following observation. We have a very beautiful story right in the very beginning of the Haggadah. Maisa be Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tarfim, Shalom Subin. They were sitting, the Bnei Barak. They were sitting in the city of Bnei Barak, where the Mitzaprim, the Yitzias, and the Shrine call Oysa Halayim. Ad Shabo Saul Bidehem, the Amulahem, Rabbi Seinu, Hegiazman Kriyas Shma Shel Shachar. Everyone knows the story. All of these Talmidei Chachamim, the greatest of the great, these are Hanoyim, and they were in Bnei Barak. And the simple understanding is that this night was the night of Pesach, Kol Oysei HaLaila, the night of Pesach, and the entire evening they were discussing, elaborating, elucidating, they were expounding all the different vocabulary words that you can fit into the word Mesaprim about the Exodus, Yitzias Mitzrayim, until it was morning, and their students arrived and said, Rabbi Seinu, our teachers, it's time to recite the Kriyas Shema Shel Shachar. So Rabelsky makes the following observation. These people, Rabbi Akiva, first of all, what are they doing in Bnei Barak? Why are they not in Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash, bringing korbanos? So obviously you'll say, well, there was no Beis HaMikdash. Who says there was a Beis HaMikdash? So Rabelsky, student of history, he makes the calculation that everyone mentioned here, we could assume, lived during the tail end of the Bayis Sheni. With regard to Rabbi Akiva, that has to be the case. Rabbi Akiva was from the Asara Harugi Malchus. Rabbi Akiva was killed at the time of Beitar, approximately between 52 years to 90 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Akiva was 120 years old when he died. So that means Rabbi Akiva, to some degree, had his life overlap the early part of his life. He was alive, and he saw the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we know Rabbi Akiva was not learned and did not start learning until he was 40 years old. But just because he did not start learning does not mean that he did not eat from the Korban Pesach, did not participate. He wasn't Rabbi Akiva, the Tana, the holy Rabbi Akiva, and the Asara Rabbi Malchus. My entire life I waited to say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad v'chol levavka v'chol nafshecha. But certainly Rabbi Akiva, he lived during the early part of his life, he was still a Beis HaMikdash standing, and he must have witnessed, participated in the offering of the Korban Pesach, and likewise for all of the people mentioned in this story. Maybe we have to discuss Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, he was 3 years old. Put aside Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah, even that, we have to really study the numbers. So Rabelsky, he mentions that it's fair to assume they were all alive. And now, it was towards the latter part of their lives. They witnessed the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. Major, major portion of the Jewish people have either been killed or have been exiled. There was a small remnant holding out in different parts of Eretz Yisrael. Beitar, you know, the famous. But there are other cities as well, and seemingly this was a holdout. Someone mentioned to me that there were other commentators that elaborate more, that they were running away from the Romans, they were hiding in Bnei Barak. There are other indications exactly when and where the story took place, but it seems there's a certain idea and theme that this was after the Churban, and these individuals were on the run. They were watching their every step. It was the time of Shmad, Gezeres HaShmad, the Jewish court learning Torah. The Romans would execute, torture them, and they were hiding. Radolsky says that what would you expect? What would be the normal expectation of a group of people who come together on the anniversary on the night of Pesach, shortly after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and people who themselves lived and witnessed the glory of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Bayis Sheni? You would expect they would happen to meet and get together on the anniversary of Pesach. They would sit together around the table and commiserate with one another and express their frustration, their sadness, their depression. They would express words of depression. Look what happened to us. We once upon a time had a nation, glorious Beis HaMikdash, sovereignty, success, happiness, joy, and now we've been decimated. The Mikdash is destroyed. Our people have been murdered. The Sheiris HaPleita are trying just to survive. You would imagine they were sitting around the table and they were an event, an anniversary that was once a happy moment, would now be the cause, would be a stimulus to enter into even a deeper state of depression, to recall once was, what could have been, what should have been, and now there's nothing. And yet, what did they do? They sat around together. They forgot about all their problems. They forgot about what was the Beis HaMikdash, the Karbanos, Yerushalayim. They put it out of their mind and instead said to themselves, tonight is Leil Pesach. Let's delve in to the glorious events of what Hashem has done to us, to this nation, on this very night. The courage and the heroism of these people is something that cannot be described in words. To just ignore the trauma, the pain, to push it out of their minds, and instead to be misaper, be yetzias Mitzrayim, kol oisa halayla. It's remarkable. And the end of the story is even more remarkable. The Talmidim, who were the Talmidim? The students. I think we have a right to assume that the Talmidim was a new generation. The students were people that never saw the Beis HaMikdash. They never witnessed the glory of the Jewish people in the good old times. The students must have been born into a generation of poverty, suffering. Everyone was a refugee. They were all born in DP camps. And they look at their parents, they look around them, they see destruction, pain, poverty, depression. And the natural reaction of the Talmidim, of the students of these rabbis, would be, we don't want any part of this. We're going to make a new life for ourselves. We're going to run away from this. After all, you can't blame them. They never knew from anything else. They just witnessed the hatred that the Ummah Yisraelim have for them, the Romans, anti-Semitism, their pathetic state of existence. Can't blame them. But yet something remarkable happens here in this story. Rabbi Akiva with Rabbi Yehoshua and with Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah and Rabbi Tarfon, they pushed away all of their problems and suffering and delved with sincerity, authenticity. The authentic neshama of Klal Yisrael came forth as they celebrated and they spoke about Yitzias Mitzrayim. It made a profound and deep impact upon the students. How do we know that the students were blown away, were affected by witnessing their teachers who were, in their eyes, a relic from a different world that these young people had no connection with? How do we know it made an impact upon them? They came to them and they said, Rebbe, Rabbeinu, we also want to be part of this. We are the new morning of this nation. We are the Shachar. You're the tail end of an old generation who saw something very special. There's nothing now. But yet, you have demonstrated in such a magnificent way your love, your connection, your purity of what Yitzias Mitzrayim means. And that has affected us. We want to be the new generation. We want there to be a boker. We want there to be a kriyashma, a kabbalah ol malchus shomayim. Rabbi Seinu higia zman, kriyashma shel shachris. It's our time. We are the kriyashma shel shachris. Our time has come. We, your students, we are the kriyashma. the Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim of the new generation, and your inspiration is so great, we will carry on this legacy into the next generation. It's interesting that there's almost an expression in the Haggadah where we're reminded again and again that the first night of Pesach, the day of the week upon which Pesach falls, will also be the day of the week upon which Tisha B'Av will fall out. If this year the first night of Pesach is Friday night, that means that Tisha B'Av will be Friday and it will be Shabbos. Obviously, if it's Shabbos, we're going to have to push it off until Sunday. But on the calendar, the ninth day of Av will come out on Shabbos. And because of this, there's a custom by some to eat an egg. There are other different customs. An egg is a food of avelus, of mourning. There are other different customs which will remind ourselves that it will be the night of Tisha B'Av. Why would we want to think about Tisha B'Av on the first night of Pesach? And we may suggest that the answer is this story. This story is in the very beginning of the Haggadah. It sets the tone. It takes us to a time and place of darkness. But the people in this story, the central figures of this story, are individuals who saw the real thing. And they gave over, they were able to just take away the horror and pain and present themselves with such optimism, such a healthy frame of mind, that speaking among themselves, their students were so inspired as to what they saw, they declared, Hineni, we are here, we will carry the legacy, we are the Kriya Shema Shel Shachris, and our time has come. Take this optimism in times of defeat, in times of darkness, and don't forget that in a few months when you come to the day of Tisha B'Av, of Chas V'Shalom, the Beis HaMikdash has not been rebuilt. Take this optimistic frame of mind and make sure you don't forget that when you're sitting on the floor on Tisha B'Av, don't get depressed. Don't be sad. Of course we have to be sad, but it should be with a healthy, upbeat perspective that good times are yet to come. This is the story of how we begin the Haggadah. The Talmidim, in the words of Chazal, are also called children. Mishinantam levanecha. We say this in Kriya Shema. We mentioned children, Kriya Shema, actually twice in the first parash of Kriya Shema, in the paragraph, V'yohavta eis Hashem l'hecha v'chol l'vav v'chol nashu v'chol yodecha. V'yuhad 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 v'yuhad. Elu HaTalmidim. And we mentioned children in the second paragraph, and there it refers to the biological children. But being that the Yom Tov of Pesach, especially the Seder, is all about transmitting to your children. But the children around your Pesach Seder are not just your biological children. They're your Talmidim. The Talmidim are your Banim. They are interchangeable. And the Musar, the message of the story is parents, grandparents, have to talk to themselves. They have to have a conversation with one another with such joy, happiness, and let the children watch. Let the children observe. The Pesach Seder is not just about relating the story of the Exodus to the next generation. We all know that the ultimate form of teaching is by demonstration, is by living, believing in your message, practicing your message. And when the children who are very, very observant, when they see and they observe the sincerity, the excitement, the authenticity of who is transmitting the message, that is the ultimate form of Higadata Levincha Bayamahu Leymar. In this story, it does not say that Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Tafne, Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Lozer and Azaria were talking to the students. They were talking to themselves. And the students mesmerized. Rabbi Seinu, Higiazman, Shal Kriya Shema Shal Shachris. The children around your table, the grandchildren around your table, they are the Kriya Shema Shal Shachris. They are the new morning. Mezorach HaShemesh Uvor HaShemesh. And the goal is, by them observing the previous generation, they have to come and say, Rabbi Seinu, Higiazman, our time has come. We will carry on this legacy. Moirai v'Rabbi Yisai. Thank you all for coming and listening and joining us every night of the week. Such choshuva, Talmidei Chachamim who give shiurim here. I'm humbled to be in their company. I'm even more humbled to be in your company. May everyone have a chag kosher v'sameach, a beautiful yomtiv, a yomtiv that's moli bracha. May this bracha come upon you all. Trickle down to your families, the whole hamilvim of all of your associates. We should merit to enjoy the Yontif and message of the Yontif. Hinei anochi shleach lecha neitz eliyahu hanavi lifnei goyim Hashem hagadol v'hanora. Thank you and have a good night.